In regard to our study today, it's an important study. Our Lord Jesus himself noted that very point when he gave to the disciples the commandments in Matthew 22, beginning down at verse 36. He talked about the greatness of the love of God and how that we ought to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he comes down to what we know as verse 39. And he says, the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he says, on these two commands, all the prophets and all the law of God is hung on these two. He makes it look like that it's a place in which you would have some ornament there. And that ornament would have the prophets of God and the names and the works of God and the law of obedience to the Lord. But he says, above these things, here is the greatest of the commandments, and the second like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two, the love of God, the love of our fellow man, hang all the law and the prophets. Indeed, it is the case that the Lord loves us and cares about us enough to teach us what that real love is. And in regard to the Good Samaritan, for example, he told us exactly what that love was. He talked about that man going down from Jericho who found himself among thieves and killers there. And as a result, they robbed him and beat him up and left him there within half an inch of his life. Where there was a priest who came by, a certain Levite came by, and they looked at him and paused a moment at best and went by on the other side. But there was a Samaritan who came. Now, Samaritans in that day and time were ill thought of individuals. They were not very well educated people as far as the Jews were concerned. And they were not very pleasant to be around. And as a result, not being thinking of this man as having any kind of feeling at all for this fellow who was laid there in need. But he did. He looked at him. The scripture says he beheld him and he had compassion upon him. As a result of that, he lifted him up. He bound up his wounds. He had some oil on his donkey or animal. And he poured that oil into the wounds. He found himself trying to help the man by picking him up, putting him on his own beast, and taking him to the nearest town, where he summons the man who would have a place for people to stay, that he will give him now money for this care, and I'll come back through this way, and when I return, if I owe you more for his care, I will pay you all of it in need. Then Jesus turned to them and said, which now of these three was neighbor to him that fell among the thieves? Well, you and I would have an immediate response to that. But they had to stand over in the corner and whisper to one another. And here they're whispering, the Lord records in Luke 10 exactly what they did. They said, now listen, if we say that this man, it's hard for us not to say anything about it. All right, we suppose the one that was neighbor to him was the one who served him on this occasion, bound him up and did good for him. Jesus didn't leave it there. For you and me all down the stream of time, here's the message. Go thou and do likewise. In our day-to-day activities, we may see people along the way who find themselves in a need of direction, a need of comfort, to have compassion upon them, and to offer an invitation, come and sit with me and worship. Come open your Bible with the preacher there and see if we can read the very same thing that he's citing in the pulpit. And understand that this is the message of God, and let's be servants to the Lord himself. That's the way the Lord would have us to live. It's the way he would have us to do. When Jesus said to them standing there on that occasion, go thou You say that this man who's a Samaritan, he showed mercy unto him. And therefore he was the one that was the real neighbor to him, not the two religious fellers who came by. Go thou and do likewise. Don't go thou and do like these others who looked at him and passed by on the other side. Don't go about this way of those who pretended to be very religious and very committed. Do this thing of this Samaritan. Have compassion upon somebody. And care for that person. It's a good tribute to note that this man was of such a way. He cared himself and he talked to the man, the innkeeper, in such a way that the innkeeper didn't say, "Oh no, I'm not about to care for him and everything. You have to pay me everything now. What do you anticipate that I'll have to have serve him? You can't just do that." No, he had enough respect from that man that the man took him and cared for him with the words, "When I return through this way, I will pay you." You know, there are things in my life, in your life, I know of a number of you, I've talked with people out in this area through the last several years of time, that hold a great sense of respect. You have a great sense of respect for the care that you have administered, for the service you've been to people, for the compassion that you have administered. This is the way that the Lord told us to love others. How do we teach ourselves before we teach our children? We teach ourselves to be the kind of example that our children will see in our lives. They won't see people that come to a religious service and leave that religious service criticizing everything that was there. The songs were done wrong. The prayers were not there for me. The sermon didn't mean anything to me. And we just go along our way that way. Little ears are there hearing. Little minds are impressionable and being taught. There are others sitting in the vehicle that have to endure that. And that's hardly the way we all think about the worship of God. "What did I bring to?" one good sister asked another one time who said such things as that. "What did I bring to? What did you bring to that service today? Did you bring a ready heart, a willing spirit, a desire to teach the Lord's will better when you left? Did you get something from that that helped you in those particular matters?" Indeed, that's the way of love to be shown and demonstrated in our lives. The church is involved in the Lord's great plan. In Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 47, we read that as the people obeyed the gospel and as they were saved from the sin, the Lord added daily to the church those that were being saved. On this day of Pentecost, those who repented and were baptized had the remission of their sins, and the Lord added them to His church. As a result of membership in that church, we're to serve the Lord. And in the struggles of life and serving the Lord, in Ephesians chapter 3, commencing in verse 20, we read in regard to this matter of how we're to be people who serve the Lord. He says, "Now unto Him," that's the Lord, "who is able to do exceedingly abundantly." I know that two adverbial L-Y's are kind of used in those English words, but they're accurate in the text itself to translate this. He said, "Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, through the power that rests within us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages to come, and that without sin." What do we find? We find that in times of service that we render, we want the Lord to go with us to visit. We want the Lord to go with us to talk and visit with folks. We want the Lord to go with us as we take some food by and care for people. We want the Lord to be with us when we talk to somebody and visit with somebody. "Unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, through the power that rests within each of us, be glory in the church." Where is that glory to be shared? In the church. Not sometimes in and most of the time out. Not always out of the church, never in. But in the church, we're to share that glory. In the church by Christ Jesus, world without end. What are we thinking here? We're thinking about a person growing in compassion and service to their fellow man. And this is the teaching that we first can accept as parents. And by our prayers to God for the opportunity to serve, He is willing and able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. In the process of this in our lives, we find a real blessing. And we often will tell others, the Lord is going with me. And as we go, we serve the cause of the Lord. In the book of Acts chapter 9, we read where Saul of Tarsus is going about to persecute those who are disciples of the Lord in the various churches that are there. We read where he is a person who is hurting and punishing those who are serving the Lord, thinking that the Lord was in fact a fraud and that he shouldn't be served. These people are continuing that fraud, and he was set out to punish those who were doing that. But on the road to Damascus, a bright light shone from heaven. It captured him to the degree that he couldn't stand up. Prevailing light, and now he was here on the ground. And there was a voice from heaven. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? If Saul had been a dishonest man on that occasion, if he had been a problematic individual on that occasion, he might have said to the Lord, Lord, what do you mean persecuting you? I didn't know you were anywhere around. I've been persecuting some people, all right, but I didn't know that that had anything to do with you. But he wasn't that spirit of a man. He was an honest man, a mistaken man, doing terrible things against the way of the Lord. But he said the right question. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now this Lord he'd been persecuting. Why is that the case? You remember this passage in Ephesians 3? How he said he's able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think through the power that worketh within us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, world without end. Are we people who serve the cause of God like that in such a way that these people on the day in which Saul of Tarsus was smitten and stopped and told, go into the city and there you'll be told what you must do. When he got up from the ground, he found himself not able to see, and others led him by the hand to go into the city. And there was a gospel preacher who came to him, Ananias. And when Ananias came to him, you pick up the story in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. And Ananias said, now, brother Saul, fellow Jewish brother, not a saved brother. He still had his sins. And we'll read that right there. Now, brother Saul, why tarriest thou? He was a man in prayer. He was a pitiful man, praying about his condition before the Lord. What would you have me to do? Go in the city and there you'll be told what you must do. Here he was in the city. Now Ananias comes to his door and says, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That's exactly what he did. He arose and he went to be baptized into Christ, and he found himself in a new way of life. And in Romans chapter 6, he writes the brethren at Rome and includes himself in the number right there. He says, shall we continue in sin, brethren at Rome? We, you and I. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall any of us, you and I, how shall any of us that have died to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as we're baptized into Jesus Christ. We're buried with Him by baptism into His death. And that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we are raised to walk in newness of life. For if we, you see the plural pronouns there, we, you and us, you and them, the Roman brethren and Paul, when we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not be enslaved unto sin. How do we continue in sin? We encourage one another to leave the ways of sin. Let's pray together about it. Let's leave the ways of sin. In Acts chapter 8, beginning verse 22, we read where a brother named Simon, who was a magician and sorcerer of his day and time, had obeyed the gospel there in Samaria. But he saw in the hands of Peter and John, who came from Jerusalem there to lay hands upon brethren and impart to them the Holy Spirit of power, that power was given by the laying on of their hands. So he reached back in his pocketbook and he pulled out money and he said to Simon Peter, I'll give you money that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive this power. Peter said, thy money perish with thee. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. Thy heart is not right with God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness. You see, he didn't tell him, now what you need to do is question your salvation. You need to go back and be rebaptized, what you need to do right now, because you don't have salvation in your heart at all. He was a man who was saved from sin, who was making terrible mistakes. He was doing wrong. He's told to repent, turn away from that. Repent and pray. Of this thy wickedness, that God will forgive you. As we pray together and talk about this, we'll grow in our ways. We'll resist temptation better and easier. We'll be people of prayer day to day in our lives, and we'll be people who serve the cause of God. And that's what brethren do one with another. The preaching and teaching brethren do that with all of us. We, as we raise questions in Bible classes and questions after sermons and listen to them by way of the internet program, we find ourselves growing in the knowledge of the Lord and in His way. And as a result of that, we know better how to love each other, how to care for each other, and how to get away from a way of life of sin. We wanted to get away from it. We repented and were baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. He added us to His church, Acts 2:47. Now then, this Simon in Acts 8:22, he needs to repent and pray God that the thought and intent of his heart be forgiven him. Pray you to the Lord for me, Simon said. Pray you to the Lord for me, that none of these things you've spoken may come upon me. Peter had told him, thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. What does that mean? Now, if somebody in our day and time would talk about two-dog dare, I understand that sort of thing, and you probably would too. The idea of it is something that we understand. But gall of bitterness and bond of iniquity, he understood in his day. And he said, I don't want any of this to come upon me. He wanted to serve the Lord. And indeed, as he did, don't you know that others of his home and family and friends in his life, he influenced for good because he had the forgiveness of God that he's now enjoying. What a blessing it is to love ourselves as God tells us to love Him and teach that same love to our children and our children's children. The song provided this morning for us to sing together, word of encouragement. Anyone here needs to respond to the Lord's command to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, or to come in repentance and prayer that you might be restored to your first love. This is the way in which it is done in the Scripture. You can read it for yourselves there, and you can sense that there's a better love that we have when we love others as we would love ourselves. Would you come as we stand and as we sing together?
Would you walk with him within the narrow road? Would you have him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let him have his way within. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. Find a place of constant rest. Would you prove him true? Each providential test. Would you in his service labor up always at your best? Let him have his way with thee. His fire can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you.